Lesson 2. Outcomes. Describe forcible entry tools. Explain considerations for forcible entry tool safety. Explain how to carry forcible entry tools. Describe how to clean and maintain forcible entry tools. Forcible entry tools. Firefighters must know the capabilities and limitations of the forcible entry tools available to them. Selecting the proper tool can make all the difference in overcoming a barrier. This section describes the various forcible entry tools and provides information on their use, care, and maintenance. When using any forcible entry tools, always wear appropriate personal protective equipment, PPE, especially hand, eye, and hearing protection. Forcible entry tools can be divided into four basic categories. Cutting tools. Prying tools. Pushing/pulling tools. Striking tools. Cutting tools. Cutting tools can be powered manually or with another power source. These tools are often specific to the types of materials they can cut and how fast they can cut them. No single cutting tool will safely and efficiently cut all materials. Using a cutting tool on materials for which it was not designed can damage the tool and endanger the operator. Axes. Axes are the most common types of cutting tools used by firefighters. The two basic types of axes are the pickhead axe and the flathead axe, figure 9.4. Smaller axes and hatchets may be used in salvage and overhaul operations, but they are usually too lightweight and inefficient for effective use in forcible entry operations. Metal cutting device. Metal cutting devices are used to cut through heavy-duty locks, metal-clad doors, window security bars and grills, and similar items. The devices include bolt cutters, cutting torches, manual or powered rebar cutters, bolt cutters. Bolt cutters are used to cut, figure 9.5. Iron bars, cables, chains, bolts, pins, hasps, some padlock shackles. Manual bolt cutters are less effective than they once were because they cannot cut modern high-security chains, hasps, and padlock shackles. These materials shatter the bolt cutter blades or cause the handles to fail under the tremendous pressure that the operator exerts. Some other locks are designed to prevent bolt cutters from being inserted into the shackle. Do not use bolt cutters to cut case-hardened materials found in locks and other security devices. When using bolt cutters, always wear face shields and eye protection to prevent fragments of the cut material from striking your face. Do not use bolt cutters to cut any energized cables unless the cutters are insulated and designed for that task. Cutting torches. A cutting torch may be used to cut security bars, gates, grills, hinges, rebar. Firefighters commonly use oxyacetylene cutting torches, figure 9.6. Oxygasoline cutting torches. Burning bars. Plasma cutters. Training based on the manufacturer's recommendations specific to each cutting and burning device is necessary for safe and efficient operation. A charged hose line must be in place during the cutting operation to cool the metal and control any sparks that are generated. Do not use cutting torches in or near a flammable or explosive environment. Sparks, the exposed flame of the torch, or hot fragments, slag, can ignite a fire or cause an explosion. Rebar cutters. These hydraulic cutting tools are available in both powered and manual versions. The manual version requires more energy to use but can be used in areas beyond the reach of a hydraulic supply hose on powered units. Firefighters can use rebar cutters to cut steel-reinforced bars, rebar, in concrete walls or to cut door or window security bars, figure 9.7. Handsaws. Handsaws may be useful when power saws are not available or the workspace around the location of the cut is limited. Hacksaws, drywall saws, and keyhole saws are the most common handsaws still in use, figure 9.8. Firefighters should know which saw is best suited to their current job and should use good handsaw technique. Power saws. Power saws commonly used in the fire service include, figure 9.9. Circular saw. Rotary saw. Reciprocating saw. Chain saw. Power sources may be a self-contained battery pack, gasoline engine, or electricity from a generator or electrical outlet. You should be familiar with the saws that your department uses. When operating power saws, always follow both the manufacturer's recommendations and departmental SOPs. When operating any power saw, always use eye, hearing, and hand protection. Forcing the saw, or any tool, beyond its design limitations can result in property damage and/or injury to the operator. Never use a power saw in a flammable atmosphere. The saw's motor or sparks from the cutting operation can ignite a fire or cause an explosion. Circular saw. This saw is especially useful in situations where electrical power is readily available, and heavier and bulkier power saws are too difficult to handle. Small battery-powered units are also available. They have many firefighting, rescue, and overhaul applications. Rotary saw. Rotary saws used in the fire service are usually gasoline-powered with changeable blades available for cutting wood, metal, and masonry. When using a rotary saw to cut metal, have a charged hose line or portable fire extinguisher nearby due to the sparks produced from it. Depending upon the type of rotary saw, the blades may spin at more than 6,000 RPM. Blades range from large-toothed blades for quick rough cuts to those with fine teeth for a more precise cut. Some blades are made specifically for cutting metal or concrete. Saw blades with carbide-tipped teeth are superior to standard blades because they are less prone to dulling after heavy use. Reciprocating saw. The reciprocating saw is very powerful, versatile, and easy to control. It has a short, straight blade that moves in and out with an action like that of a handsaw. It can use a variety of blades for cutting different materials. When equipped with a metal cutting blade, this saw is ideal for cutting sheet metal body panels and structural components on vehicles as well as metal doors and wall panels in structures. Chainsaw. Chainsaws are commonly used for forcible entry, ventilation, rescue, and overhaul operations. They can be powered by gasoline engines, electricity, compressed air, or hydraulic power. Cutting chains come in a variety of types for use in cutting building materials such as wood, stone, concrete, brick. They are useful for clearing down trees and limbs from streets and access routes after natural disasters, such as tornadoes and ice storms. They are also used to cut structural collapse debris to free trapped victims. Chainsaws should be equipped with kickback protection and chain brakes for safety as well as carbide-tipped chains and depth gauges for better saw control. Prying tools. Prying tools are useful for opening doors, opening locks, opening windows, moving heavy objects. A prying tool uses the principles of a lever and a fulcrum to force entry through a door. Pry bars and other manually operated prying tools use the principle of the lever and fulcrum to provide a mechanical advantage, figure 9.10. Force applied to the tool's handle is multiplied at the working end based on the distance between the fulcrum and the working end. The longer the handle is, the greater the force produced at the working end. Manual prying tools. The most common manual prying tools used in the fire service are as follows, figure 9.11. Crowbar. Pry, pinch, bar. Claw tool. Pry axe. Halligan tool. Hux bar. Kelly tool. Flat bar, nail puller. Rambar. Most manual pry tools are constructed from single-piece high-carbon steel, approximately 30 to 36 inches, 760 to 900 millimeters, in length. These tools usually have one end that is beveled into a single wedge or fork. The opposite end of the tool may include a hook, pike tip, or adze. A rambar has a sliding weight on the shaft that is used to drive the wedge or fork into an opening. Miniature versions of manual pry tools are also available and have accompanying sheaths for carrying the tool. Some prying tools can also be used effectively as striking tools, although most cannot. You need to be familiar with the capabilities and limitations of each manual prying tool, such as knowing which surfaces are used for prying and which surfaces may be used for striking. Hydraulic prying tools. Hydraulic prying tools receive their power from hydraulic fluid pumped through special high-pressure hoses. The pumping mechanism can be either powered or manual. Although compressed air is sometimes used to power hydraulic pumps, electric motors or two- or four-cycle gasoline engines are much more common. Manual hydraulic tools require more labor to operate and operate more slowly than powered hydraulic tools. However, they are usually smaller, lighter, and easier to carry. Hydraulic prying tools that one person can operate have proven to be very effective for forcible entry and extrication operations. These tools can be used in a variety of different operations involving prying, pushing, or pulling. The rescue tools and hydraulic door opener are examples of hydraulic prying tools. Rescue tools. Hydraulic spreaders and hydraulic rams usually associated with vehicle extrication have some uses in forcible entry. Hydraulic spreaders can exert force either to spread something apart or to pull heavy objects, figure 9.12. Hydraulic rams. They also have spreading capabilities and can be used for pushing and pulling. In forcible entry, place hydraulic rams inside a doorframe and use the rams to spread the frame far enough apart for the door to swing open. Hydraulic door opener. This opener is manually operated, relatively lightweight, and consists of a hand pump and spreader device. The spreader has intermeshed teeth that can be easily slipped into a narrow opening such as between a door and doorframe. A few pumps of the handle cause the jaws of the spreader device to open, exerting pressure on the object to be moved, figure 9.13. The pressure usually causes the locking mechanism or door to fail. These are extremely valuable tools when more than one door must be forced, such as in apartments or hotels. Pushing/pulling tools. Pushing and pulling tools have limited use in forcible entry, but in certain instances, such as breaking glass and opening walls or ceilings, they are the tools of choice. This category of tools includes the following, figure 9.14. Pike pole. Plaster hook. San Francisco hook. Roofman's hook. Clemens hook. Drywall hook. Multipurpose hook. Rubbish hook. New York roof hook. Pike poles and hooks are available in various lengths, giving firefighters a reach advantage when performing certain tasks. The plaster hook has two knife-like wings that depress as the head is driven through a ceiling or other obstruction and reopens or spreads outward under the pressure of self-contained springs. Use pike poles and hooks, except for the all-metal, roofman's hook, only for pushing or pulling, never prying. If a lever is needed, select the appropriate prying tool. Handles of pike poles and hooks are made of wood or fiberglass and may break if used as a lever. Striking tools. A striking tool is a very basic hand tool consisting of a weighted head attached to a handle. The following are examples of common striking tools. Figure 9.15. Sledgehammer, 8, 10, and 16 pounds, 3.5, 4.5, and 7.5 kilograms. Maul. Battering ram. Pick. Flathead axe. Mallet. Hammer. Punch. Chisel. In some cases, a striking tool is the only tool required. In other situations, the striking tool is used with another tool to gain entry. When striking tools are dropped or used improperly, they can crush fingers, toes, and other body parts. Poorly maintained striking surfaces may cause metal chips or splinters to fly into the air. Therefore, proper eye protection, safety glasses or goggles in addition to the helmet face shield, must be worn when using striking tools. The battering ram. The battering ram is used to make openings in walls and force doors. The battering ram weighs 30 to 40 pounds, 15 to 20 kilograms, and is made of steel with installed handles and hand guards. One end is forked for breaking ordinary brick and concrete blocks, and the other end is rounded and smooth for battering doors and other types of walls. 1 to 4 firefighters holding the attached handles can swing the ram back and forth into a wall or door to create a breach. Tools used in combination. There is no single forcible entry tool that provides the firefighter with the needed force or leverage to handle all forcible entry situations. In some cases, firefighters must combine two or more tools to accomplish a task. Two common tools used in combination for forcible entry are the flathead axe and the Halligan tool, a combination of tools known as irons. The types of tool combinations carried vary, depending on building construction, security concerns, tool availability, and other factors within a fire department and the area served. The primary factor to consider is selecting the appropriate tools to do the job. Using tools in situations for which they are not designed can be extremely dangerous. Pre-incident surveys will help determine which tools will be required to force entry into a particular building or through a particular door, window, or wall in that building. Tool safety. Improper use of power and hand tools can result in strains, sprains, fractures, abrasions, lacerations. To prevent these injuries, you must wear appropriate PPE. Additional PPE may be required depending on the incident. Use only undamaged tools. Select the right tool for the type of opening to be made. Use tools for their intended purpose only. Position yourself so that your weight is balanced on both feet. Ensure that you have room to operate the tool properly. Be aware that there will be a sudden release of energy when the door, window, or wall is opened. Ensure that other personnel are out of the immediate area. Be aware of the environment to prevent possible gas or vapor ignitions. You must become familiar with all the tools you will use, which includes reading and following all the manufacturer's guidelines as well as your department's SOPs on tool safety. When tools are not in use, they should be kept in properly designated places on the apparatus. Check the location of tools carried on the apparatus and make sure they are secured in their brackets. Repair or replace damaged tools immediately. As with other tools, using prying tools incorrectly creates a safety hazard. If a job cannot be completed with a particular tool, do not strike the handle of the tool, use a larger tool. Also, do not use a prying tool as a striking tool unless it has been designed for that purpose. To prevent injury, use extreme care with rotary saws, power saws, and chain saws as follows. Match the saw and saw blades to the task and material to be cut. Never force a saw beyond its design limitations. Always wear full PPE, including gloves, hearing protection, and eye protection, figure 9.16. Fully inspect the saw before and after use. Do not use any power saw when working in a flammable atmosphere or near flammable liquids. Maintain situational awareness. Keep unprotected and non-essential people out of the work area. Follow the manufacturer's guidelines for proper saw operation. Keep blades and chains sharpened. A dull saw is more likely to cause an accident than a sharp one. Be aware of hidden hazards such as electrical wires, gas lines, and water lines. Remember that the rotating blade on a rotary saw continues to spin after the throttle has been released. Use only blades that are manufacturer approved for your saw. Blades from different manufacturers may not be interchangeable. When making cuts, account for the twisting, gyroscopic or torsion effect of a rotary saw blade to maintain control of the saw. Start all cuts at full revolutions per minute, RPM, to prevent the blades from binding into the material. Store blades in a clean, dry environment. Store composite blades in compartments where gasoline fumes will not accumulate because hydrocarbons can attack the bonding material in these blades, causing them to deteriorate and violently shatter during use. Carrying tools. You must carry forcible entry tools in the safest manner possible to protect yourself, other firefighters, and bystanders. When lifting heavy tools or other objects, always lift with your legs and not your back. Get help when transporting heavy tools. Avoid running with tools. Some recommended safety practices for carrying specific tools are as follows, figure 9.17. Axes, if not in a scabbard, carry the axe with the blade away from the body. With pickhead axes, grasp the pick with a hand to cover it. Never carry an axe on the shoulder. Prying tools, Carry these tools with any pointed or sharp edges away from the body. This can be difficult when carrying tools with multiple cutting or prying surfaces, such as a bit on one end and an adze on the other. Combinations of tools, strap tool combinations together. Halligan tools and flathead axes can be nested together and strapped. Pike poles and hooks. Carry these tools with the tool head down, close to the ground, and ahead of the body when outside a structure. When entering a building, carefully reposition the tool and carry it with the head upright close to the body to facilitate prompt use. These tools are especially dangerous because they are somewhat unwieldy and can severely injure anyone accidentally jabbed with the working end of the tool. Striking tools, keep the heads of these tools close to the ground. Maintain a firm grip. Mauls and sledgehammers are heavy and may slip from your grasp. Power tools. Never carry a power tool that is operating more than 10 feet, 3 meters. Running power tools are potentially lethal weapons. Transport the tool to the area where the work will be performed and start it there. Carry the saw with the blade forward and toward the ground. To prevent fuel from leaking, ensure that the gas cap is tight and the gasket is in place. Care and maintenance of forcible entry tools. Forcible entry tools will function as designed if they are properly maintained and kept in the best condition. Tool failure at an emergency incident can result in potentially harmful delays as well as severe injury or death. Always read the manufacturer's recommended maintenance guidelines for all tools, especially power tools. Follow your department's procedures to report any tools or equipment that need repairs. Tools that are damaged or excessively worn should be removed from service, tagged, and sent to the proper authority for repair or replacement. The sections that follow describe some basic maintenance procedures for various forcible entry tools. Refer to Skill Sheet 9-1 for procedures for cleaning, inspecting, and maintaining hand tools and equipment. Note, the procedures for cleaning, inspecting, and maintaining power tools are covered as a Firefighter 2 skill in Chapter 21, Maintenance and Testing Responsibilities, to coincide with NFPA 1001. Personnel and departments that require the Firefighter I to maintain power equipment may refer to that chapter.